But I did learn just how large the heart of the Lord is. And I, of course, I was introduced to wider reading. And though in some ways it was narrow. But of course, I came out with a bit of paper. And that bit of paper, if I had not got that bit of paper, I would never have got into Australia with my wife. We were spoken to of the Lord most definitely to move to Australia, which was about 10 years after we were married, or 11 years or 12 years after we were married, and were involved in various countries. But the Lord spoke so clearly, and without that bit of paper, we'd have never got in. And of course, the same thing was true, though we spent less time based in Canada, we'd have never got into Canada without that bit of paper, because of course the authorities wanted. So I would say that the Lord knew that those things were going to be part of our lives. And so that's part of the reason why he thrust me out of industry into that realm. And I passed through it, you know, and So I don't know whether that answers a bit, at least, but I would say that I love the way that man R.T. Kendall, when he was interviewed, said recently, at the age of 89, that there was no necessity. He advised against going to a Bible seminary. You have to, I think, bear in mind, Bill, that I had passed into the things of the Spirit I went to the college, maybe, and had begun to see the Lord really moving by the Spirit. And it's a wonderful thing to have the Spirit and to be learning to listen to the Spirit. One of the things that heady men who love books, and I'm one who loves books, heady men must be careful that they don't get stuck there. They don't get stuck there in the regions of reasoning. Aristotle, what's his name? Oh, goodness, come on, Bernard. The great Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, all stuck in his head, wrote just about the greatest theological volumes, died at 49 years old. And his famous story toward the end of his life, he was a Dominican monk in the 13th century, and he entered into some sort of experience of the Lord. I think it was a Sunday night when he was about 48. And of course, he had an amanuensis who used to take down and these books, these volumes of theology that he wrote, completely under Aristotle, because very, very in the mind, Aristotle was basically everything will yield to reason. That was, of course, Aristotle was a philosopher, wasn't he? Greek. 300 years before Christ, was he? Plato was 400 years before. Plato really believed, he was a philosopher, was never a Christian, of course, but he believed that there was the realm of the invisible, the and there was the realm of the visible. Aristotle said everything is basically visible. Even God can be analyzed and defined. And that was Thomas Aquinas. That's he wrote incredible. If you read any of it, it's dreadfully boring, but exceptionally logical. And it's remarkable, in fact, you know, what a mind can reason through. And quite amazing. But he entered into this experience that he never spoke about, but just said that God came to him and that he experienced God for several hours. God ex experience, experience. And so the next morning he went to the sort of office where he and this, I think his monk was called Benjamin, who used to be his amanuensis. And Benjamin says, "Shall we begin again where we finished on Friday night or whatever it was?" And Thomas said, "I shall never write again. All I have written is straw. I have seen the Lord." And he never wrote again. And he died about 9 months later, I think. It's re quite remarkable. And you may have heard of a man named Pascal, Pascal's pensées, his thoughts. He was a Frenchman, and he was an absolutely brilliant mathematician and a brilliant, brilliant intellect. And when he died, but he there came a point where he passed into another realm. He never spoke of it to anyone. But he knew God, and they could hear a difference in him. All the people who knew him, but he would never explain. The way he spoke of God was of another depth. It was coming. When he died, for some reason or other, they looked very carefully in his coat, and there was a piece of paper in it which they unfolded, and he had written a date. I don't remember the date. And he had written a time and a date, and he said something like, I haven't got the words exactly in my head, "God, sheer glory, for 3 hours, nothing but the glory of God I have seen. I have seen." And he had never spoken of it, but he had passed into that knowledge of God, you know, that puts a tone in the voice, you know. "When I come to you," said Paul, "I shan't be looking at your words." He said that, didn't he, at the end of 1 Corinthians 4, it won't be your words," said, "but your power. He didn't mean power for miracles. What's the power that's working in you? And the voice, gives away the power, not the words. And it's spirit, where there our spirit is really, 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 and someone was talking to me about this earlier. They came on the phone during I was on a Zoom, but they and I asked them to call back, and they're just aware of this, this amazing thing. What's going on? Something's happening.
Yeah, good question.
Oh, there it is. We're back to normal.
Somebody hit something?
I don't know.
Sorry, guys. It's Jim. I hit the share whiteboard
You could have drawn a
function by
picture
mistake.
on it
I
or something.
was poking around over here to see if I could share a video that I took of a
That's okay.
wind sculpture
Yeah.
in Taos, New Mexico,
Oh, yeah.
about
Well, hang on.
2012
We'll
that
let Bernard
describes
finish.
something along the lines of what Bernard's
Yeah. Well,
describing.
let's let Bernard finish,
So
and
I'll see
you're
if I can
welcome
find
to
that.
a wind
Is
sculpture.
Pete, do you have the ability, Richard, to share a video clip, a YouTube video clip on screen here, like 30 seconds
Can
clip?
you? Whoa. Mark Lim.
What's happening?
Was that you,
You
Mark?
know, for some reason I can't
Yeah, I hit a mistake.
hear these
Sorry.
headphones.
Well, I think you can just
You can on the
Richard
share
is off.
screen, yeah.
Yeah.
You can.
Well, hang on though. I think it's fair to let Bernard finish.
That's
Yeah,
right.
sorry, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I was just poking around in the background. I didn't
Yeah,
know.
that's okay.
Sorry,
I
sorry.
didn't know it would come on the screen. Sorry.
Do you have a share
Sorry, sorry.
button there?
Yes, there is one. Yeah. If you hit there, you will share the
I
screen on
believe
the
you can
background.
share. That's a green button with a black arrow or
Oh, yeah,
whatever.
I
That's
do.
right.
Yeah, but
That's
I'll
right.
wait. I'll wait.
Yeah.
I was just looking on this
Right.
end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for the interruption, Bernard.
Nope, no
Sure.
problem.
Sorry.
I'll
Something new.
be
It's
quite happy to wait, and we can carry on afterwards. I'd be interested if it links in with what we're talking about.
I think
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, go ahead. Try the share.
let me look around here. I don't know how to get it, guys, but let me do that maybe here in a bit. Keep going. Sorry, I really didn't know it was gonna show up on your screen as well.
That's
I'm so
okay.
sorry.
I mean, when you reflect in Corinthians about the, I think this is one of the biggest things in the churches today. There is a search for experience. There's a search. But in the what's called the charismatic churches, especially in America, but it's not only in America, that search is being hijacked by music and so-called worship. A definite hijacking that's going on by the wicked one, I would believe, in the last days. We were warned, Jesus warned us about it. And so you've got this happening. There's a search for experience, and others are resisting experience. So that you have someone like John MacArthur, who's now passed, and I would have great respect for, and I'm sure, But men like MacArthur didn't believe that God speaks to people. That it would be wrong for me to say, the Lord spoke to me. The only way that the Lord speaks to you, you experience his voice, is when you read the Bible. To them, there are many like that who would say that, which is a total irrelevancy, an absolute irrelevancy to say that, because when you think of the amount of the world's population, where places I have been, where people can't read. So if God can only speak to you by reading the Bible, when you read the Bible, so you have these extremes, you know, where on the one hand, experiences of God is sought by feelings and music and so on. But we should not underestimate the power of this hijacking that's going on, and they call it worship, and it's not. It's really a much more an emotional release that is happening in many churches, and you know, whereas there's that which is utterly real, the power, I will come to you. Jesus, of course, they spoke of him, and he said, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and power. And the power of Calvary, the power of the cross, the power of the victory, the power that brings newness of life into you. And that the power that crucifies you, the power that makes you embrace the way of the cross, the power that makes you into a lamb, the power that, and this is why, you know, when this whole matter of the inward life, so you know, this is illustrated, you know, I think by, you know, I've got, do you remember at the one of the remaining hymns that's sung in churches today is "And Can It Be" by Charles Wesley. "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain," and so on. That's a great, great hymn. It's tremendous. But, you know, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. You know, and it goes on like that. But you will never hear a congregation singing, because it's part of Wesley's testimony, Charles Wesley's testimony. He says, still the small inward voice I hear that whispers all my sins forgiven. Still the atoning blood is near that keeps me clean and fit for heaven. I feel the life his wounds impart. I feel my Saviour in my heart. That verse is missed out consistently and has been for years and years and years and years. That verse, still the small inward voice I hear that whispers, amen. I do. And one of the things that I would say in our day, you see, is that those of us who are heady, you know, more like Thomas Aquinas, who like to think and so on, we have to be those who are really given to the inward life, to the way of the spirit, to hear the Lord, to be slow to speak and swift to hear. And those of us who are very much given to feelings and feeling this and feeling that, feeling the other, and so on, we have to rein ourselves in that way. And so that we can become whole people, really. And there's an Wesley's hymns are quite remarkable, absolutely, because so many of them are testimony. And there's another hymn where he, it's called Happy the Soul, whom God delights to honor with his saving grace. Happy the soul. And that's how it begins, on whom his hidden name he writes and decks him with the robes of praise and bids him calmly wait to prove the utmost powers of perfect love. Calmly waits to prove the utmost powers of perfect love. And he's giving his testimony, and he reaches a point where he says things like this. He makes me all his sweetness know. He makes my cup of, and then he comes on into the this these verses. Richard, I'm just mentioning about the song Happy the Soul Whom God Delights to Honor. He comes on in the fourth verse to an hidden life in Christ I live. An hidden life, Christ I live, you see. The conflict between the outward life and the inward life. Our souls have capacities, don't they? Our souls. So, soul came into being when God in-breathed into body. So, spirit, God is spirit, and he in-breathed, he in-spirited the man. He inspirited the body that he had formed of the dust of the ground. And man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. And so the soul of man is related both to the invisible, the realm of spirit, the realm of angels, the realm of devils, most certainly the realm of God, the realm of Satan, the spirit realm, and man's soul is also related to the realm that can be seen, the realm that's material, the realm of. And man has senses that are both inward senses. His soul has inward senses to sense those things inwardly, the things that are invisible, the things that are to do with spirit, the things that are to do with demons, the things that are to do with angels. And he has senses also by which he can see and taste and feel, he has ears, he has eyes, he can smell, and these powers and that he has in his soul. And then, you know, into the garden came a spirit in a body and set aside God's order and spoke to the woman. And we think we know about that. The mystery of iniquity came from heavenly places and was let in to the physical, into the material realm, into this earth. Because the mystery of iniquity began in a certain place, and it was spirit. The mystery of iniquity began in the heart of an angel, and a great angel. And so these things are worth really pondering a great deal about. And you know, the whole pressure that's upon our young people and us too is an outward life I will live. An outward life, a reasoning life, an intellectual life, in some cases, you know, but it's all to do with the outward. I've got a mastery, you know, knowledge puffs up, love builds up, and you know, this is the test and temptings for the church which we're in. And Wesley writes this tremendous hymn, Happy the Soul Whom God Delights, and he says, an hidden life in Christ I live, and exercised in things divine. And then he says, my senses all his love receive. I tell you, this is stuff that's, what is the use of you just receiving a lot of intellectual knowledge about truth and so on and so on and so on, if your inward senses are not receiving he says, my senses all his love receive. You know, your inward senses and receiving his love. And then he proceeds to quote the five senses. I see the king in beauty shine, fairer than all the sons of men, thrice happy in his love I reign. His love is manna to my taste. So he says, I see his love, I see the king in beauty shine. Now he says, his love is manna to my taste. His love is music to my ear. I feel his love and hold him fast in ecstasies too strong to bear. And then he comes to the last sense. So he's covered four of them. I smell the odor of his name, and all wrapped up in love I am. And then told us his inward experience. Now that's what must have happened to Mr. Thomas Aquinas. He must have had some inward experience so wonderful, so transforming. And Pascal and the spirit must have come to them in some way. We don't know why, what, except, of course, this is how God wants us to know him. I know that this is how God wants me to know him, so that my senses, all his love receive. I see the king. I smell the odor of his name. I feel his love, and his love is music to my ear. And it is. It is. His love is music to my ear. And it's then Wesley is so that spirit, he says, oh, that the world might taste and see how good the Lord my Saviour is. So he says that they need to taste this. They need to taste it. Now, remember this when you're ministering to people. They've got to taste it, not just believe things, not just believe the right things. They've got to taste. Oh, that the world might taste and see how good the Lord my Savior is, it's so wonderful. And of course, this is what Paul, I believe, means when he says to the Corinthians, in one spirit are we all baptized into one body. And he doesn't end there. We are made to drink into one spirit. To drink. Most of us men don't know how to really drink spiritually. Just drink of his presence. We can't try and drink with our minds. And we get sort of excited because that's the way that we have experienced the tuition of life. We've been taught to be intellectual, to think and to reason, and and it never satisfies. That's why some of us go into rebellion in earlier life, and some of us go into sensuality in extremes, feelings, sexual and stuff like that, because we've been trained not to live this way. And and isn't the gift of the Spirit a wonderful gift? That we have the Spirit. Hear him. Hear him. Drink, drink, drink of the Spirit of his love. Let your senses, your inward senses, let his love be enough. This man I was talking to earlier, he said to me about his town. He's talking to me about his town. He's lived there many, many years, and he's familiar with many of the churches, knows a lot of the leaders, and he says, I have a real fellowship, he said, with just a few in the town. He said, who? But the lovely thing he said, he talked about a couple, a man and a woman. And he said, the man, the husband, he just gets excited by organizing church. just by organizing church, you know, by doing something for Jesus. That's what excites him. But his wife, she's lovely. She just loves Jesus. And everybody knows it. You know, she just loves Jesus and everybody knows it. And, you know, she's someone who's knows his love. You know, his love is manna to my taste. His love is music to my ear. I feel his love and hold him fast. In ecstasies too strong to bear. Amen. Yeah, I think that's why Paul, having told us, you know, all about the gifts of the Spirit and having warned the Corinthians that he would be examining what power they're speaking by. See, I heard someone speak a while back who I hadn't heard speak for years and years and years and years. He hasn't moved an inch. That same, I could hear the power in his voice, and it wasn't the power of a broken spirit. It wasn't the power of a humbled man. It wasn't the power of a man who was tenderized. He was yet hard, as Jesus said of the apostles in the Mark Gospel. And are you yet still hard and you don't know? And he said to them, it's amazing. And, you know, the power, and I think this is why the Apostle Paul, he almost contradicts himself when he gets to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. He almost, what's the word, rubbishes what he's written about in chapter 12. All the, you know, all these gifts, you know. If I speak, you know, and do this and do that, and, you know, and have not love, you know, he almost rubbishes everything he's said. It's challenging, you know, and here we are, brethren, and yeah, I'm saying a lot, but it's almost like me speaking, but with all our faces on board. But I think it's good to just share these things. Drink, my brethren. Drink more of him. Drink of his love. We're all made to drink into one spirit. We were never made to drink into the spirit of wickedness. I mean, we were never made to drink into the spirit, the egocentric spirit that fills the world round about us. We were never, that's why we're so discomforted all the time, if we do drink into it. You know, we're not made, and there's stuff we shouldn't watch on TV. No doubt about it in my mind. And someone said something earlier about not wanting to get into talking about something. I've forgotten what it was. But you're right, there are things in, you can hardly, we're not made to drink into that spirit. We're just not made to drink it. You know the scripture I'm quoting, don't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These simple things are the key things, you know. I'll be looking at your power. looking at the power. What's the power that's working in me? You know, do I know what power is working in me? Is it a power that's making me into a lamb, breaking me, melting me? You know, but this Paul, you know, he talks about these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, and he talks about God. Am I right? Doesn't he say that it's the same spirit? There's varieties of working. It's the same God who inspires them all in everyone. I mean, inspires. It's God. And then he says it again in verse 11. All these are inspired. That, you know, we must be inspirited men day by day. What's the use of you preaching unless you're inspirited? Inspirited by, what's the use of me preaching unless I'm inspirited by him? And it's, we're made to drink day by day. And, you know, everything vitiates against this. And I have to say that I never heard a word about this in my years and lectures in the college. Never heard a word. Never heard a word. But I know that this is the heart of things. And, you know, so the power, who's inspiriting me? And you have to, if you don't believe and don't sense that God is somehow inspiriting, you shouldn't be on here. You shouldn't be listening to me. That's, you know, as I'm sharing a little of my heart, perhaps more clearly than I've ever done before on these sort of matters. But you see, there were times when I could hear John MacArthur. I would listen to him sometimes, and I could hear the Blessed Lord inspiriting him. And there were times there was such a stuff coming out of him, and it was unhelpful, it was unprofitable, wasn't abiding. And there are others that I heard someone else, a clip that someone sent me, and I listened, and I listened to his voice straight away. Nothing inspiriting from God in him. I don't know why they even sent it to me. Not worth listening to. Just jumbled knowledge from Bible, though he'd fitted it together rather well. And you know, the words that I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and life. Amen. You know, so he says, doesn't he, Paul, in chapter 12, of he says, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body and have all been made to drink into one spirit. Remarkable. Many drinkings, one baptism, made to drink into one spirit. I mean, how do you feel? You know, you don't want him to drink into another spirit. We weren't made to drink into another spirit, but to drink into the spirit of his love. Spirit of his mercy, spirit of his, you know, his Holy Spirit. Glory to God. We've all been made to drink there. And Amen. Well, I think this is where the church is at in the struggles of this. I really think so. And I think we ourselves go through these in our different ways, in our different ways, whether we're young, whether we're older, you know, whether we're toward the end of our life, like some of us are. You know, you sense the what is it that makes me fellowship with that man? What is it that knits me together? You know, some knit together because they're all rather bullyish. They're bullies, and they like to be hard, and they like to sort of put people in their place, and they like to rule, and that's the ground of their fellowship in the church. Certain leaders knit together like that. They're bullies, basically. They don't know it, you know. Well, they're critics. They're critical people, and they love to get everything correct. And so they tend to isolate with people who are similar to them in their isolation. And there are others that gather together. You know, in one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And the only way, brethren, that we, and this is where so many began well. What happened to Demas? That he was with Paul, a man baptized in the Holy Ghost for sure, a man who in his earlier experience was drinking into the one spirit. And then something happened to him. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What happened? He stopped drinking. Perhaps ambition got into his heart. Perhaps frustration with Paul got into his heart because he didn't think Paul was active enough or something like that. Perhaps some root of bitterness grew up, but having loved this present world, you know, the end of Colossians, he began to fellowship. He began to drink into another spirit. And these are the things that challenge the mystery of the human soul drinking into something. And another power begins to move in them. And their voice becomes reedy, or their voice becomes raucous, or their voice becomes something else. And Well, I've said enough, but perhaps we can take it up a bit. Would that be all right? And you can ask me to clarify, or I'll try to, or offer your own thoughts about this most serious of matters. Most serious of matters, brethren. Because I know, I have known dear men who, this is the great struggle. One man, younger man, comes before my eyes now, a man in his 40s, and I can see that he has these spiritual capacities. I've seen it in him in earlier days, but the more power he's got and authority, he's drinking into the spirit of organization, and he's diminishing in spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the church situations that he's in, and he's not growing. He's not growing. So different men. Yes, Demas. Oh, yeah. Sorry, it was Timothy, isn't it? I said Colossians. I beg your pardon, was it? It would be better if I used the word, because I'm thinking of experiencing God.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Experiencing God. So I'm not thinking of the momentary, tingle up the spine or some. That's what I'm aware of, to experience him, to taste him. And if I
So
can lead us somewhere beyond the Gospels into the epistles and into the real work of the Spirit. Now, there's no avoiding the cross. There is no avoiding the death to self. No avoiding. But we are given a spirit that doesn't make it a perpetual fight.
Amen.
That we
I
are
want
given the
patience.
spirit that doesn't make it this weighty, heavy, groaning, I must decrease, you must increase. That was John. John the Baptist was an Old Testament prophet. And we are in the body of Christ. And one of the things I realize more and more, brethren, is that we're slack with our words and our language. So, for instance, we use the popular word relationship with Christ. Relationship, relationship, relationship. Now, I was in Florida one time in the house of some elderly ladies, accommodated. Whatever town was it where I was, I don't remember. But these ladies were Christian ladies, and they had dogs, large ones. And they, one of them was made of ceramic, big ceramic dog. The other one was a live dog of the same brand. So the ceramic one was the same kind of dog as the other one. And she was vividly, one of these ladies was vividly all the time that I was staying there, having a relationship with the ceramic dog, and a slightly different relationship with the live dog. She was not having communion. The Bible never uses the word relationship. It uses the word union, communion. Communion. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of communion. He's the spirit that engenders communion. So, where is the place where the Holy Spirit is called Lord in the epistles? There is a place where he is distinctly called Lord. Now, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. You know, it's in 2 Corinthians 3, isn't it? And when Paul talks about the Spirit and being Lord, what did the Lord Jesus say that the Spirit would do? He shall glorify me when he spoke. And in the 2 Corinthians 3 scripture, what does Paul say the Spirit, when he's Lord in our life? He will, what will he cause us to do? He will cause us to look. He will cause us to look. No. Beholding, he will take the veil away, and he will cause us to look at Jesus. That's where the cross is. The cross is in the crucified one, who is life. And he will lead us to Jesus. He will take the veil off our hearts and say, and that's why Mr. Wesley, in the hymn I quoted, is really experiencing the Spirit's ministry in his inner life. And a hidden life in Christ I live, and exercised in things divine. My senses all his love receive. I see the King in beauty shine, and he goes through the senses. So the Spirit is the Spirit that is leading us into this communion, union. And communion, union and communion, the great book of Hudson Taylor, you've probably come across it, his little book on the Song of Solomon. But here you are, the Spirit has come to lead us into the communion, the wind blowing, bringing us into spontaneity, bringing us so that we're not living by codes. And I've got to die to this, and I must die to that, but empowering us to so love Christ that we don't want to go to bed with Potiphar's wife. or whatever. We don't want to succumb to the possible root of bitterness where someone hurts us deeply and provokes us, where we have the option that we harden our heart or we forgive. And the Spirit is in us and pointing us to Jesus and empowering us and quickening us into the habit of humility, where humility becomes a habit. This precious gift of the Spirit, precious gift of the Spirit, that, does it glorify Christ? So, if I may mention about, because I know all about what Jim's talking about and the breath, the breathing, the this and the that, and the other, and so on. And, it's a slippery slope that faithful hearts drift into. It's a slippery slope of Eastern mysticism. And one of the great 20th century contemplatives from the Roman Catholic Church that wrote was Thomas Merton. And he said a very key word at one point, because he got interested, very interested, probably too interested in Zen and other forms of Sufi mysticism and various forms of Buddhist mysticism and so on. And he went to a conference toward the end of his life with these other practitioners of mysticism, of contemplation, who used these methodologies. And he said this famous phrase, "I do not go to achieve nirvana. I do not go into mystic contemplation in order to Hindu mysticism, lose myself, or Buddhist to lose my desire, because all our problems are the result of desire. I get quiet and I contemplate to meet a person, and his name is Jesus." That's the difference between us. That was the statement that he made. And there's something, you don't have to use methodologies to meet Jesus. You just need to live in the communion and the fellowship that the Holy Spirit brings. And those glory, and that's the measure. The work of the Spirit brings me unerringly Jesus, unerringly. And he uses no techniques and he needs no manipulations by music, by breathing deep and all these things, and mantras and so on. He needs no mechanisms like that. He just needs the quietness of our hearts. Be still. And when I think of quiet times and when I think of the fear that comes. Don't you increasingly find the Holy Spirit is just leading you to be quiet and to perhaps put your Bible down and leave your phone in another room? He will lead you into the true isolation of communion, where you don't want those things, and you come to books, and then you come away from books. He will lead you into times of reading a book. He will lead you into times where you don't want any book near you, thank you. And then he might lead you back to a book where, but you're in the communion, you're in this, this wind thing that you saw. What was the name of the town? I saw things like that in Sedona years ago, similar artsy sort of place.
Yeah, this town was Taos, TAOS, and the one I couldn't think of is West Sedona, which is the point, it's just like it, yes.
Like it, yeah.
Yep.
I was in Sedona some years back, yeah. But this is the blessedness. Oh, give thanks for the gift of the Spirit that He leads us into the communion. That's why when Paul rounds things off in his Corinthian letters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's the particular role of the Spirit, to bring about, to nourish communion. And communion, doesn't it mean the mingling of spirits
I don't know.
without the creation of a and you have those lovely
You better find somebody who
lovely
knows
tins
how to
of
open that.
those lovely tins of pink lemonade. You have a tin, it's a sort of powder, and you pour it in water, and you turn it into a drink, and it forms another thing, the pink lemonade, and the water create another thing. Of course, when we're in the communion of the with the Lord, and I'm in communion with Him today, I think I've been in communion with Him most of the day. Even though different things have been happening, I've been quiet of heart and attentive. And it's the mingling of my spirit with His spirit, but it is not the creating of another entity. My spirit is still my spirit. You understand what I'm getting at? That it's the privilege of Him sharing with me His life. And I'm learning to drink into that life, drink into that spirit, drink into Him. And I'm still learning to do that. And conversely, to not drink in to other things, to not drink in to anything else. So, not to drink in to in fact, they repel me. One of the great shows in this country on TV, and apparently they had the climax of it last night, I think, something called The Traitors or something. and I don't know anything about it, but I'm repelled by it. Hazel is the same. You get little bits of it that come up in the to get you to watch it. You know what I mean? And there's a spirit in me that rejects it, and it's his spirit. So there is this repelling. And of course, you're right, Bill. There are times, I don't know whether it's happening to some of you who are older, that your sleep patterns, there's hardly a night where I wouldn't wake in the middle of the night and be quiet. Maybe I'm laying there in bed, quiet in the darkness. And sometimes in that communion of quiet, and sometimes I switch the light on and begin to read. But in that communion, there are things that you see, and oh Lord, I see, I don't want to be like that. In one way, it's a fear. In one way, I understand what you're saying. But we should be so thankful for the Blessed Spirit. And we should nourish, we really should drink into his spirit much more. And that spirit will always, with unveiled face, he will take the veil away from. It's safe to have the veil taken away from yourself if at the same time he's unveiling you, because you're being unveiled in his light, and you'll never find a poking finger at you from him. He's never, you are like this, he's never. See, so with unveiled face, what face? Well, it's not this one. It's the face of your deep. It's the face of my deep. Every man has a deep. It's the face of your deep. And, with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. What a prospect to that unveiling. That's his lordship. So if that's what he does when he's Lord, he unveils the face of our deep, and we are changed. And you will all know the Greek word for, we are transformed from one degree of glory to, is it, metamorphosis. And that's the Greek word, same. And he was transfigured before them on the mount, and we are transfigured into the same image. And this is, and the cross is implicitly in all that, for sure. You can't go on with God and avoid the cross, but it's made sweet to us, We had a sister in one of our churches who wrote a beautiful hymn, Jesus, thy cross is sweet to me. Yeah, and she got it. She got it, because it was all linked with.